You know, we've been talking, we started talking last week about the joy effect. And by that I mean how having the joy of the Lord is active, it's present in our lives, and how that joy can change everything. Having the joy of the Lord is one of the ways the world gets to see who we serve. It's one of the fruits that Jesus followers should be producing. And if you are not living in the joy of the Lord, then you're probably not producing the joy of the Lord. We need to be concerned with what we're producing. The joy of the Lord is directly connected to your confidence in the promises of God. If you believe God, you can have this joy no matter what happens to you. The more confident we are in the promises of God, the more vibrant the joy of the Lord is in our lives. The more vibrant the joy of the Lord is in our lives, the more confidence we have in His promises. Today is part two, and it's not one that we particularly look forward to, but it's joy in the midst of trials. Now, a foundational verse for today is found in the book of James, James 1, 2 through 4. Consider it nothing but joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you fall into various trials. Be assured that the testing of your faith through experience produces endurance, leading to spiritual maturity and inner peace. Let the endurance have its perfect result and do a thorough work so that you may be perfect and completely developed in your faith, lacking nothing. Now that was out of the Amplified Version. This is it out of the Message. Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you can become mature, well-developed, and not deficient in any way. Now, I know your first reaction is to hearing those verses. These verses go against all logic. Who calls their trials something to be joyful about? Who calls their trials a sheer gift? Sounds crazy. Well, it is crazy until you apply your faith in Jesus. Now, before we go any further, I want to make sure that you hear this loud and clear. Nothing we talk about today is meant to ignore the fact that the trials we face in life aren't difficult. They are. They're hard. They're life-altering. The trials that we face are real. They're life-changing. They're earth-shattering. But I might suggest to you to consider a new reaction, a new response this time. Listen, God understands your trials, and He's with you in the very midst of them for sure. And when all others may disappear and abandon you, defend for yourselves, Jesus is there and He'll never leave or forsake you. Today we're going to be talking about a different way to go through the trials. A new way of living for Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 19, we see a reality for a Jesus follower. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, and by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is His body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, having our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. Some versions sum it up this way: there's a new way of living, walk ye in it. Now here are the facts. Trials will come, but trials won't last. God's promises are the only thing that last. They never expire. They never end. They never wear out. When King David was facing one of the lowest points in his life, he penned Psalms 41, and he's pouring out his heart to God, and he ends with this statement, Psalms 41:13, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting, from this age to the next and forever. Amen. So be it. My paraphrase is this: even though my life is horrible right now, this is David, some because of my own doing, some because of others' wrongdoing to me, I deserve some of the mess, but I don't deserve all of it. No matter what, you're with me. He's talking to God. You are pouring out your blessings in the midst of this mess. In the lowest part of King David's life, he found a place to be joyful. The Apostle Paul writes this in Romans 8:28, and we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his plan and purpose. Now, it's going to come down to whether you believe and have confidence in what God's word says or not. According to James that we've just read, these trials, even as difficult as they are, can be used to bring forth God's plan in our lives. Consider it a sheer gift. See, God can use the trials we face to work his maturity in us. God can use the trials that we face to develop us into his original design for us. God can use the trials that we face to build something good in us, something strong in us, something eternal in us, something that will bring him glory, and something that the evil one can't take away from you. And we will not be alone. Listen, God wants you to reframe your responses. God wants you to have a different reaction to trials. Now here's what I know. The disciples faced a lot of terrible trials. I can't imagine going through all they endured. But Jesus told them this in John 16:33. I've told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace. In the world you have tribulation and distress and suffering. I call those trials. But be courageous, be confident, be undaunting, be filled with joy. I have overcome the world. My conquest is accomplished. My victory abiding. The Message version says it this way: I've told you all this so that trusting me, you will be unshakable and assured, deeply at peace. In this godless world, you will continue to experience difficulties, but take heart, I have conquered the world. In other words, Jesus says life is going to hand you some pretty hard things as you live your life for me. This is Jesus. But because you have me, you can walk through those times in complete peace and be full of joy. Not because what you're going through is easy or enjoyable, but because I'm with you, and where I am, things change. I will give you what you need to walk through it. You can count on me. Now, here's what I know. When we are going through hard times, we think we're the only one that's ever experienced this kind of thing. We look at others and we see their lives as perfect, and sometimes we even get mad at God for the hand that we've been dealt, when the reality is that everyone goes through a mess and hard times. Some people look at me and think I've never had any hard times. They look at me and say it's always been easy for Pastor Brian. In fact, this past Sunday we were at a restaurant and we were leaving, and a lady came up to me and says, "Are you famous?" Of course I said, "Well, of course I am. Would you like my autograph?" No, I didn't say that. I said, "No, I'm just a regular guy, but thank you for thinking I'm famous." You know, people have a visual of who they think you might be. And we think that famous people never go through anything. But the truth is, my life has been far from easy and far from problem-free. And like King David, some of the mess I experienced was self-inflicted. But some of the mess I experienced was just handed to me. Now, I'm telling you this so that you don't think you're the only one to have trouble in the world. I know it's not a contest of who can describe the worst stuff, but I want to share with you a few things. At 10 years old, my father died suddenly. That wrecked my world. I don't remember ever having real heartache before that. At 11 years old, we left my hometown, the only place I'd ever lived, and come to Columbia, and that messed with my security. At 12 years old, my mom remarried a really good man, but it was still not easy peasy. I wasn't too easy to live with. My teen years were spent in rebellion, getting into trouble. I was an angry young man. 20 years old, got married, and that ended 6 years later because of my wife's unfaithfulness. At least three affairs, the last one with my very best friend. 26 years old, I was a single father raising two young boys, one still in diapers. Plus, I'd lost the most promising career and barely was making a living. In a matter of 2 weeks, my marriage fell apart and I'd lost everything. Plus, the next few years, I was constantly in court dealing with lawyers too in order to keep my kids. Maybe you've experienced something similar. So even though I might look famous, as that lady said last Sunday, I've had my share of trouble. When my marriage fell apart, I drew a line in the sand with Jesus, and I began to change the way that I had been responding to trials. And I'm so glad the story wasn't over. God brings restoration into your life. My restoration is on the front row here. God, I never thought I would ever marry again. I never thought I would be a candidate for such a woman as God gave me. Was it difficult to go through up until that time? Yes. But I'm so glad the story wasn't over. I accepted Jesus as my Savior and baptized at 10 years old. Actually, before my dad died, he was able to see me baptized. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit at 15 years old, but wasted some of my teen years living for the devil. 20 years old, I recommitted my life to Jesus. And as you see, you still can face trials, but God restores. See, I walked in a new strength and confidence in Jesus. I fully adopted that new way of living that comes from one that lives confidently in what God says. Have I continued to have trials? Yes. Have I been perfect in my responses? No. Have I seen God carry me through the trials? Yes. Have my trials lasted? No. Have the promises of God sustained me? Yes. Has God done only what He can do? Yes. Listen, my trials might be different than yours. In fact, I hope you've not had to go through some of the stuff that I've gone through. But if I had not had Jesus, I would have never made it. I know that. I can stand here today and tell you I would not have survived those trials. Maybe your trials are worse than mine. But the fact is that God has provided a way through these trials. And it's not just by the gritting of your teeth. God has a way for us to even prosper in our trials. And that's what I call God math. We can be through in the hardest place you ever imagined and find yourself prospering in the things of God. Joseph was a different man after facing all the difficulties and seeing God's plan. Maybe you're not familiar with the trials that Joseph endured, but a few people have had worse trials than he. His brothers hated him and plotted to kill him, but instead sold him into slavery. Oh, how that must have hurt. He was sold again to Potiphar, a top official in Egypt. And then he was falsely accused of raping Potiphar's wife. He was thrown into the worst kind of prison. He was promised favor for an early release, but forgotten and spent many more years incarcerated. Talk about unfair. If anyone had a right to be dejected and depressed, it was Joseph. But at every juncture, and I encourage you to read that account, Joseph responded righteously and saw the Lord's favor in the midst of trials. And listen, I didn't always respond righteously, but my heart was for God, and He brings the restoration. But in every account that we see, Joseph had the right attitude. I would not have had the right attitude. I don't know that I could have been put back together like him. But finally, after many years, he was released, given a very high position of authority in Egypt. And here comes the ones that have caused so much pain, his brothers. They needed some food. He controlled the food. That would have been a time where your flesh might want to get involved and play with them a little bit, since you're the powerful one, but not Joseph. When Joseph's brothers were united to him, they didn't recognize him. And when Joseph told them who he was, they could hardly believe it was him. And his response to them shows us that he allowed God to carry him through all of his trials. And I would say he had the joy of the Lord doing it. Genesis 50:20 reminds us, Joseph talking to his brothers, as for you, the ones that did this horrible thing to me, you meant it evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present outcome. And he says that many people would be kept alive as they are in this day. Because God had Joseph in the right position, many people were able to prosper. But the ones that did him wrong, guess what? Joseph was used to hand them something that would cause them to prosper. The truth is, we may never know the full impact of God's plan for good from all of our trials. That's where faith comes in. But as people of faith, we can be confident in the fact that he's going to turn our trials into good if we allow him. You can have a hard head and you can get bitter and you can do all that stuff and you can negate the restoration in your life. And when I look at my life, I am so thankful that I did not negate the blessings of restoration in my life. See, trials will come, but trials won't stay. God's promises are the only constant. God's promises are our only hope. God's promises are the only thing that can bring joy in the midst of our trials. Because you can have a situation where there's nothing around you that could bring you joy, but you reach deep down inside what God has said, and you can find that joy can come. Romans 8:28, we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his plan and purpose. And guess what? If you have breath in your life, you are called to be in God's plan and purposes. I'm telling you from experience that God is trustworthy. You can trust him. He will never fail you. I can tell you that because I've been there. I have seen the salvation, the deliverance of my God. John 16:33, again, I've told you these things. Jesus said, so that in me you may have perfect peace. How many of us are looking for perfect peace in the midst of the storms? Listen, we all are. But sometimes we're looking for that peace in all the wrong places. In the world, you have tribulation and distress and suffering. But be courageous. Be confident. Be undaunted. Be filled with joy. I have overcome the world. My conquest is accomplished. My victory abiding. The victory that God has for you is just waiting for the right time. In other words, this tells me that Jesus is saying, yep, you're going to face some difficulties. That's life on this earth. But you will not be alone. He's there with us. And where God shows up, things change. See, I believe God's saying, I can make you confident in trials. I can make you undaunted and unfazed in trials. I can make you full of joy in trials. No matter the trial, put your trust in me. I'd hear Jesus saying this, change your thinking, trust me fully, not me, trust God fully. Thank God in advance for the results of his provision and restoration. Maybe you're at a place that you can't even see how restoration would ever look. Begin thanking him for it. Begin thanking him for it. That helps you, that builds your faith. Change your fleshly response to trials. Reframe your reaction to difficulties in life. Respond as one who has confidence in God's promises. React as one who knows God's there. You need to respond that way. God's there. Don't fly off the handle. God's here. He's got your back. He's got your front. He's got your right. He's got your left. He's got above you and he's got below you. God has got you. God wants us to allow his joy to rise up in us during trials because his promises are forever. God's promises never expire. When we do all of this, the light of Jesus shines brightly and others can taste and see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Amen. Do you think that anybody wants to serve the God you serve that doesn't help you? That doesn't give you joy? If we are going to be like the culture, we don't need God. We have got to be countercultural. Now, I would believe the challenge would be to commit, to have joy in the midst of trials. When you have joy in the midst of trials, even though you may feel the heat of the flames and see the reality of the flames all around you, you can come out of that fire without even the smell of smoke. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I saw a funny video the other day. The lady said, I thought it was Shadrach, Meshach, and a billy goat. But it's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They didn't even have the smell of smoke, and they were in the fire. See, Joseph didn't look like a man that had been hated by his brothers when they saw him. Joseph didn't look like a man that was slated to be killed. Joseph didn't look like a man that had been sold into slavery. Joseph didn't look like a man that was falsely accused of a crime. Joseph didn't look like a man that was unjustly imprisoned. Joseph didn't look like a man who had been forgotten. No. He was unrecognizable. All because he allowed God to give him joy in the midst of the trials. The takeaway today is to walk through your trials and difficulties with the confidence that God's word is true and you can have his joy no matter what. When you have a joy of the Lord in the midst of the trials, when you tell your story, people will be drawn to the Jesus that carried you through that trial. Amen. Let others see Jesus in you no matter what. And if you have seasons of doubt that God can do something in your trial, maybe you doubt that yours is too big for God to do anything in your trial, remember what the Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians 3:20 and 21. And I love this version out of the Message version. God can do anything, you know. Far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his spirit deeply and gently within us. And you know what God will do? He'll bring restoration. You might even end up looking famous. You might. You might end up looking like someone who's never had a bad day, that never went through anything. I believe that's how Joseph looked. I believe that's how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego looked. That they didn't look like they'd been through anything. But I want to remind you of this in closing today in James, the first scripture we read, 1, 2 through 4. Consider it a sheer gift. Consider it joy, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and it shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you can become mature and well-developed and not deficient in any way. You have to. If you want to live a successful Christian life, you have to expect and receive and seek after the joy of the Lord in the midst of the trial. Listen, anybody can be happy when everything's going right. But it takes someone special to, when everything is against them, that they're still happy. And you know it. They might be shaking their hands. If you're happy and you know it, shake your hands. If you're happy and you know it, stomp your feet. I don't know how it might flesh out in you, but people need to know that you're happy and why you're happy. We're not happy because everything has gone our way. We're happy because we have the joy of the Lord in the midst of the trials. In fact, even this trial that you're in, the Bible talks about it being a sheer gift. Why? Because it causes you to make a decision to change or not. To make a decision to trust God or not. To make a decision to reframe how you're going to handle a trial. Listen, the enemy can come at you with everything he has. And far too often, God's people just bow down and take it. And we look like we've been in a fight. But God doesn't want us looking that way. The enemy doesn't have the final blow, but some of you have looked like you've had a few blows before. But God wants you to have joy in the midst of the trials. It's easy to have joy when everything's going right. It is difficult, and it takes something else, and that something else is Jesus. I never thought I'd have a normal life after going through all the stuff that I went through. I never thought I would. I thought I'd just plod along from one bad problem to another. But I reframed how I was going to look at these things. And no, it was horrible. It wasn't fun. There was no joy in that in the natural. God replaced that mess, kept it from entering me, and allowed me to have joy in the midst of the trial. And He could do that for you. What you're going through may be worse than anything that I ever thought about. It's not a big deal to God. God can give you joy no matter where you are. But you've got to want it. You've got to believe His promises more than you believe what's been handed to you. Sometimes we get convinced that this is just the luck of the draw. I'm just doomed for this. In fact, we were walking in a graveyard one day and came across, it's a historic graveyard, and it came across this one gravestone, and it says, "Poor guy, we're glad he's dead." Didn't have a name on it or anything. I said, "Boy, I hope nobody puts that on mine." But you know, we can live a miserable life and affect everyone with our misery. And if you by chance say that you're a Christian, they're going to equate that with God. But God is not a God of misery. God is a God of restoration. God is a God that can take something that looks like it's headed right off a cliff, and He can change that around. He can put a soft landing at the end of the cliff. He could cause you to fall backwards instead of forward. It's amazing what our God can do. And the moment you begin to believe His word more than you believe your circumstances, you're going to find that there is an opportunity that God's joy can come into you. And it's not like you're going through life with your head buried and you're acting like nothing's happening. No, this stuff is happening. Listen, that's real stuff that happened to me. I lived through it. But greater is the one that's in me than the one that's in the world. And God has that for you. He is the greater one. And He can turn your mourning into dancing. It doesn't mean that you didn't have a reason to mourn. Yes, there are times when we mourn. But we can't stay mourning. We can't stay broken. We can't stay angry. We have to allow God to do something in us that would cause us to rise above. We'll never rise above in our own strength. But we're not limited to our own strength. God's here. He's right with you. He knows what you're going through. He knows how difficult it's been. And He knows how many days you spent weeping because of what's around you, what has fallen apart. Sometimes it's stuff we've done. We brought it on. But many times it's just not. It's just we live in a fallen world, and as long as we're here, things are going to go messy, and we're going to be in the middle of that mess sometime. But if we call upon Jesus, He'll make all the difference in the world. He will take the very thing that you mourned and bring healing to you. And in the middle of that healing, He'll build strength in you. And in the middle of that, you'll find your faith in His word. And then all of a sudden, you will begin to let this be your oxygen, that you breathe in the word of God. When the world can give you any solution, you breathe in what God has said. Well, I know that things are going rough in the natural, but it doesn't change what God has said. God's word is the only thing that doesn't expire. His promises are real. They are for today. They are not just some history book lesson that your grandmother tried to get into your head. This is the word of life. And until you get to the place that you want to breathe in His word, you're going to find joy is a very difficult thing to have. But when you see the faithfulness of God, and then you remind yourself of what God has already done, and listen, how many of us check the Amazon reviews when we buy something? This beats any Amazon review. This tells you exactly what God is and what God does and what He can do and what He'll do for you. And it is for you. And it's not just because you just happen to be around. No, He purposely breathed life into you and created you to show forth His glory. He wants you to be an extension of Him as we live in this world. You're never going to do it without the joy of the Lord. There are a lot of things that we got to have into place, but boy, it has to start with the joy of the Lord, because the joy of the Lord shows that you believe His promises, you trust His promises, and even if everybody else is against me, guess what? I can still have the joy of the Lord. It's our strength. I love it when we worship. As we worship, there is something building inside of us, and it's a confidence in what God has said. Many of the words of the lyrics of the songs that we use, they're out of Scripture. They may be rephrased a little bit, but they're out of Scripture. And as we hear ourselves over and over again saying those words, there's something built inside of us. And there's a confidence and faith in God's Word. And when you're confident in His Word, the joy of the Lord is right there. And if you have the joy of the Lord, that just means you're confident in His promises. They go hand in hand together. God wants you to reframe how you do things. The very next time something not so good happens to you, step back for a moment, remind yourself what God's Word says, and allow that to kindle the joy fire that should be inside of us. And when that begins to roar, the enemy doesn't have any hold on us. We'll walk through the fire and won't get burned. We'll do all kind of crazy things for God and it won't affect us. But it affects eternity. It affects someone else's eternity. When someone knows that you can be joyful even in the midst of a trial, they're gonna think, wait a minute, that's pretty amazing. Because everybody else they know is just going to be full of hatred. Well, the joy of the Lord chases out hatred. The joy of the Lord opens up the promises of God. And you will begin to walk in that. And you will find yourself, you have reframed how you're going to respond in a trial from now on. Because it works too well just to do it one time. And it has become our nature that we're not going to worry. We're going to cast those things on God because He cares for us. But we're not even created to be able to handle the mess. But He's big enough. There's nothing too big. There's nothing that He won't take away from you. He wants you to walk, live a life of freedom with His joy, so that when you walk down the street, you're shining because of Jesus. That's what I want to do. I'd rather that than someone think I'm famous. I still should have given him my autograph, don't you think? But God wants an army of people that are full of joy, that understand the enemy can't dictate how I act. The enemy can't dictate how I react. No, the joy of the Lord is the one. I'm going to laugh in the face of trials. And I'm going to thank Him for the restoration that comes afterwards. And that's key. Because if you can't thank Him for it on the front end, I'm not sure you will recognize it when you get it. I never, ever, ever thought I'd have Susan. Never. But because I thank God for that before it happened, I get to enjoy her. We're coming up on 39 years. I get to enjoy her. But what if I'd never begin to thank God for that? So that thing that's so far out in your mind, The thing that the enemy has robbed, our God can restore. And He wants to restore. It is His great pleasure to bring restoration to you. And He wants to. So reframe. Catch yourself next time you hit a trial. Catch yourself. Don't go to your go-to unless it's going to God. But reframe that. Remind yourself that God's promises are true. And because they're true, I can have the joy of the Lord no matter what. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father.